You're listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today I was at a meeting of our Richland Chronicle staff. We were discussing the issue that would be coming out November 19th. But as that was going on, the enrollment numbers were being published at 3:30. Well, it was 3:30 our time. It was actually 2:30 Eastern. If it was 3:30 our time, it was 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. In other words, at the end of the day, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Sebelius, was releasing the numbers on the enrollments in Obamacare. And they're not good, folks, because the total enrollments, and I'll first give you the number. It's 106,000. I'm going to give you the ballpark. I'm going to round it. It's 106,000. Now, that's all 50 states. 79,000 came from the so-called state exchangers. There are 14 states that have their own state exchanges. So if you're in Oregon, for example, you can go on their exchange and enroll, and the same thing with Hawaii, for example. So there are 14 states that have that, and that's the majority of the enrollments. Out of that 106,000, 79,000 came from the state exchanges, which is 14 states. That leaves another 36 states. It's the rest, and that's, in ballpark, is 27,000 enrollments. That's terrible. They're trying to get, by middle March, 5 to 6 million people enrolled, and a bare minimum of 3 million. I don't think there'll be these numbers. I don't think they're going to be able to get a million. This is the website has become, and Obamacare has become a national joke. Comedians across television, whether it's Saturday Night Live or your Jay Leno's, they're laughing at it. And it is laughable, and it's easy to make fun of. But here's the problem. Millions of people that have individual coverage will be losing their coverage effective 1 January. And that's just the start, because there are approximately 180 million people in the United States that either have their coverage through individual or their employer-provided plans. And you'll get different estimates, but there are roughly 19 million total, 19 to 20 million total, that have an individual health insurance. And it's been estimated that somewhere between 15 million and 16 million of those 19 million are seeing their plans terminated. A few of the plans will not be terminated, but most will. The overwhelming majority of the individual market, it's going away. That's why I say they're destroying the insurance industry, and that's their objective. Even though you enroll in another plan, you got to remember, today they're over today in the United States, there are over 180 million Americans that are insured either at their place of work through their employer, or if they're, for example, self-employed, they buy it on their own. But what happens 1 January is the small employer plans, as well as large, will begin to be terminated if you have it through an insurance company. You see, the only ones that are really exempted from this are large corporations that have 50 or more employees, and they have a year. And that's really not an exemption. That's a delay of it for a year. And self-insured plans, which are typically insurance plans where the employer funds it. And those are typically very large companies. Definitely over 50, but usually 100 or more employees, where the employer, instead of purchasing insurance, what he does is he pays any claims out of his own cash flow, and typically hires an insurance company to administer the plan, what's called an ASO, an administrative service only plan. And those are exempted from Obamacare. So immediately you have 15 million people that need to get signed up. They need to do something. They're panicking. That's why I said it's really not funny. This website is not ready for prime time. This whole thing needs to be delayed. And the Democrats are starting to push that. There's a problem, though. Their approach is telling insurance companies that they have to extend these plans. You really can't do that because they have complied with federal law. They looked into this and said, by law, we have to terminate these plans, and we've done it. And they have to make business decisions based on that, what, for example, whether or not they're going to stay. You can't go back because what's going to – the only way they could go back is everyone would be covered, and that's forcing them to take people. There's going to be a break in coverage, and they're fast approaching that. What needs to be done, what I favor, is get rid of this because poll after poll after poll has shown, and you're going to get these numbers bounce around, but you have about 55% of the American people don't want Obamacare. They want it repealed. They want it killed. You have another roughly 35% that are favor Obamacare. You add those numbers together, that is about 90%. And the people that don't know are typically between 5 and 10%. It's going to vary from poll to poll. That's now. Once people become aware of the high cost, the high premium cost of these new Obamacare plans, together with the very, very high deductibles, two things are going to happen. That 55% number will quickly become 65%. In other words, two out of three people don't want it. And that 35% number will drop to 30% or less. See, right now, a lot of supporters of Obamacare that don't have individual coverage, namely they're covered through their employer, are simply not aware of what's going to be happening. And what's going to be happening, especially with small groups, and small groups, I mean under 50, is their employer is going to call them in, usually for a benefits meeting, and tell them one of several things. Either I'm terminating my health insurance, you're on your own, go buy it in the health insurance exchange. Some of that's already going on. Or, yes, we're going to keep a plan, we're going to buy a plan, however, it's so much more expensive that the deductible is significantly higher. See, the dirty little secret is when people actually go and enroll and look at these plans, what they're finding is the deductibles are much higher than what most people are used to. Most people that have their coverage either as an individual or through their business, their employer, typically they have a deductible $500, $1,000, maybe $1,500, but that's it. The so-called Obama health plans, depending on which one you're buying, you're typically looking at $2,500 at the low side, and that's the best plan. That's like the platinum plan, which is the most expensive plan, to where the cheapest plan is like $6,000 or $6,500. So let's say they get a silver plan. That's typically a $5,000 deductible. That for most people, is 5 to 10 times the deductible that they're currently paying. So they get sticker shock twice. They get sticker shock when they look at the premiums, and depending on your age and gender or sex, they're seeing minimum of 25%, in most cases over 50%, in some cases 100% increases. That's the first sticker shock. My Lord, this is expensive. But the bigger sticker shock is the deductibles. And what you need to understand, a lot of people have not had the time to go to those websites. And it's not on the radar yet, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The only ones that are truly being affected right now are the ones that had individual health care. In other words, they had to go out on their own and buy it. you're going to have a second wave coming in. As we go through next year, every month you're going to hit anniversary dates. And what's going to happen is what employers are doing right now is they're either receiving a letter. Let's say, for example, let's say your plan has a 1 February anniversary date. Well, that 1 February anniversary date, they're getting letters this month notifying that their group insurance premiums are going up quite a bit. And the primary reason they're going up is because of Obamacare. And because you have two things going on. The big one in terms of when you're looking at small group insurance or employer-provided insurance, whether it's small or medium-sized group. They have to offer what's called an essential benefits package, essential benefits. And there are about 10 categories. There are very, very few plans out there, either small or large group, that have all these services in it. So they're going to see a bump probably 15, 20, 25%, maybe more. Depends on the plan, our premiums just for that. Now, when you're dealing in the group market, there's no individual underwriting. So if you come to work for them, they're not and enroll in the plan. They can't and won't ask you health insurance questions. But to the extent that you've had, for example, insurance with a company for several years, that insurance company knows if you have employees that have serious medical conditions and are running up big benefits or big claims is what I'm trying to say, that's factored into your premium. So, and typically you also get an annual increase in premium. I can remember when actually health insurance rates were going down. That's many years ago. And for most people, they've never seen that. So even the small group employer market are going to see dramatic increases in premiums. Now, clearly those companies that are self-insured, they're going to remain self-insured. I doubt very few will change that decision, but they will be aware that now they're on the hook for a lot more because there can be no lifetime maximums. So even those plans become more expensive. So what you're going to see is sticker shock. It's like a wave. First you see the individual coverage, then the small group of employers, and then the mid-size and large. And it'll be out. It'll come in like a tide for the entire year as every one of these plans hit their anniversary dates. And that's going to get a lot of people's attention. Because what companies will do, if they don't cancel the plan, it's going to be a lot more expensive, and it's going to probably come out, part of it will come out of your paycheck. So the numbers, I'm not really surprised at the numbers at all. But there's something that needs to be said. Does that 106,000 number or the 79,000 number for the state exchanges or the 27,000 number of the healthcare.gov, the federal exchange, does that mean those people have health insurance? No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. Now, why do I say that? If you're purchasing health insurance, before that insurance company is going to issue you a insurance policy, they want 1 month's premium in advance. And that's the norm. So if you want a certain date, anniversary date, you got to send in the premium. Very few, if any, of those so-called enroll people are insured under a new plan. And the reason is simple. They haven't sent in a premium yet. Yeah, they might have been approved for coverage, and that's not even true. You're eligible for a plan. You know, I doubt there's less than 10,000. It's probably less than that. It's probably less than 5,000 of that 106,000. And remember, this covered the first 30 days. It covers October. I bet you there are literally only a few thousand that actually have gotten in the mail letters saying they have coverage and they have their insurance card because they paid for it. That's what needs to happen. Remember, insurance is a contract, and to make it a binding contract, the normal procedure is you pay 1 month's premium in advance, just like your auto insurance, just like your renters or home insurance, property insurance, same way. They want to know, do we have a paying customer? Do we have a customer that can pay for it? And they really don't know until the customer pays and the check clears. You see, that's the, and maybe the government, you know, I was talking about this in the Richland Chronicle newsroom, and, you know, my guess is zero have coverage. Now, that's probably not true, but I don't think it's many. And I say that because it usually takes a minimum of a month from the time you apply until you get a letter notifying you that you have the coverage. And in that month, normally you send, when you send the application in, and that's what you're really doing when you're enrolling or close to it, you got to send in the check. Because what is the insurance company going to do? Well, for individual coverage in the past, they went to MIB, Medical Information Bureau, to get the information on you, health information. Now, they can't do that anymore. It's not guaranteed issue. It's not medically underwritten. They got to take everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, they're going to be checking your credit. There's no point for them to approve you, say you're eligible, only to find out you can't pay the premium. They're going to do a credit check to make sure you're looking at your payment history. And here's the issue. While they can't decline you for medical reasons, they can decline you for financial reasons. You have some major bad debts or bankruptcies, and you're late on payment. You see, it's not an automatic that you're going to get the health insurance just because they can't issue you. They can't decline people that have a pre-existing condition. That's true. But why do you think they're going to Imperium, Imperium? I don't think I'm pronouncing that right. One of the credit card, what do they call them? it's escaping me. Service bureaus, where they check your credit. They're doing that to see. One reason supposedly is to check your income, but another reason is to see what's your credit history. Are you a good risk, a credit risk? They're trying to make an assessment of whether or not you will be able to pay the premium, because they don't want to waste a lot of time and effort and paperwork getting you approved. And even if you paid the first month's premium, only to discover a couple of weeks or a couple of months later that you literally can't pay your bills. You're not reliable. You have other financial problems. And it's my understanding of the law that they can decline you for financial reasons. Can't do it for health reasons, but they can do it for financial reasons. Now, some of them might say, listen, if you pay the entire year's premium, we'll take you. But I don't think they'll do that. I think what they'll do is they'll say, we're sorry, but we did a credit check and you didn't pass our standard. Now, I had at least one person in this newsroom that, oh, they can't do that. I'm not sure. I said, well, that's what I'm understanding. Now, I'll be first one to say this has not been trumpeted over the air. I've sort of picked up on it. But my point is the reason why you haven't heard of this at all. It's very simple. Very few people have the new Obamacare plans. I'm sure there's some. So these so-called enrollment figures that you came out with, in terms of people that actually have a new insurance plan that's going to go in effect 1 January of next year, I think it's under 10,000. I don't think it's zero, and I don't think it's 10,000. I would say probably a couple of thousand, maybe as high as 5,000. And the government probably has a good handle on that, but they're not going to publicize that. But that's what you really need to know. Because my understanding is their goal is they need 5 to 7 million people enrolled on the exchanges in the first year, with at least 3 million enrolled by March 15. Good luck. And when I say enroll, that's not necessarily insured. I seriously doubt they'll have a million insured. Because, yeah, you could fill out all the let's assume the website begins to work perfectly, and you fill out all the information. I would consider you're registered. You've given them enough information that they can make a determination whether or not you're eligible for a plan. Now, why are they doing this? And a statistic came out. Nearly 400,000 of the people that have signed up for Medicaid. It's slightly under 400,000. Well, a couple of points. The key point is you don't have to pay anything. And they've said they're eligible, so they're poor. And that's why it's fairly quick to get that determination. If they see there's no income or very little income, you have hardly any assets. In other words, you qualify for Medicaid because you're below the poverty line. Then, yeah, it's fairly quick to get that Medicare eligibility. The insurance company's not involved. The federal government is involved. The state is involved. And I was reading several articles. One of the problems is many illegal aliens can sign up for this because they don't make a determination. You really have to be a citizen to get Medicaid. But they cannot. You could go through the process, become enrolled in Medicaid, and then the state has to really make the determination of whether or not you have a legal status, namely you're a citizen, to collect. So these numbers that you're going to be hearing today and tomorrow on the television news, the radio news, first, they're not very impressive at all. Remember, approximately 27,000 people are so-called enrolled through healthcare.gov. My understanding that their goal was 150,000. Well, that's this is less than 20% of their goal. It's terrible. And the thing I'll emphasize again, I wouldn't get on that site. I don't have to get coverage through that site, but let's say I was in a situation that I needed individual coverage. I don't have it through my employer. I'm self-employed. I've had an individual plan, and I absolutely need something to replace what I have. I still wouldn't go on this site. It's not secure. It's that simple. That is a problem. I have no confidence yet that the information I type in will not get into the hands of criminals. Remember, you're providing enough information, or should be providing enough information, for the insurance company, the government, to get additional information that the insurance company needs together with your information to determine whether or not you are eligible for Medicare. So, yeah, you're registered or enrolled, but you don't have insurance. And you need to keep in mind there's certain lead times. Usually, especially when I was selling insurance, it typically took, the minimum was 2 weeks. Usually, more realistically, it was 30 days, a month. In other words, after I sent in all the paperwork with the information and a check for 1 month's premium, typically, within 2 to 4 weeks, I would get back, and so would the prospective client, a letter saying, you've been approved for insurance. They would send me the material that I would in turn deliver to the client in terms of claim forms, administrative, a manual discussing how the administration goes, as well as ID cards that, if it were an employer plan, what you need. If it's an individual plan, your ID card, so when you go to the doctor or other health care provider, they know that you have insurance through a carrier. So these numbers are very, very disappointing. As a matter of fact, I'm obviously against Obamacare, but it's become a national joke, and I think tonight on TV and the next coming weeks, it's going to become more of a national joke. These numbers are atrocious. And what makes it worse is for those people that have to get the coverage, again, until this site is really tightened up security-wise, stay off of it. Stay off of it. They're having hearings today in Congress talking to the people, the tech IT people that were responsible for getting this site off the ground. And the snippets I've seen are not encouraging. I'll probably have more information tomorrow. And the reason I'm getting on this, this is the major breaking news story right now. If you go to the television networks, you go to talk radio, as well as radio newscast at the top of the hour, the bottom of the hour, the story right now are the enrollment numbers. And in case you missed it, 106,000 total from all the state exchanges, the 14 state exchanges, as well as the federal exchange, with the overwhelming majority of those 106,000 being from the state exchanges, namely 79,000. The remaining states, it was a total of 20,000. And if you're in Texas, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's less than 3,000. Now, did I say 3,000 have health insurance? No. 3,000 people in the whole state of Texas have gotten the information on the site. Doesn't mean they have health insurance. I really think very few, if any, people in Texas have gotten an Obamacare plan yet. There might be a few, but very few. And I say that because you got to pay the first month's premium, and most of these people in that 106,000, they have not paid the money. And that's a key step. The insurance company's not going to issue a plan until you pay that first month's premium. It's very much like auto insurance, homeowners insurance, renters insurance. I'm in the process of doing or redoing my insurance situation in terms of property and casualty right now. And I know I have to pay either a month or the whole year now before I have coverage. So all these numbers you're hearing, don't think that these numbers mean you have people that are insured. They were very, very silent about that. Now, over time, I hope they'll release that information. And to be fair to them, it's a little bit too early, because why the cutoff, these are the numbers supposedly from 1 October to November 2nd. So right now, that's why I say there are probably zero that actually have insurance. Now, next month, we'll probably, I hope, have some visibility as to how many of those 106,000 actually now have insurance. And see, what's interesting is the number of people that they're never going to have insurance. They're now on Medicaid. There is slightly under 400,000. That is almost, not quite, but almost four times as many people are now on Medicaid. Now, that doesn't surprise me, because you don't have to pay anything. You got to qualify. You basically have to be poor. So the poor are signing up, or limited resources, put it that way. People that are under the poverty line, and that's determined by your income and the size of your family. But they don't have insurance either. That's think of it as welfare, because that's what it is. So you're eligible for Medicaid. Whoop-de-doo, because your next step is you're going to have to find a doctor or health care provider that will accept Medicaid. There's a reason why Texas declined, is one of the bigger states that says, hey, we're not agreeing to this expansion of Medicaid. Because even though the first 3 years, the federal government picks it up, after that, it's 100% the state. So the Texas, as well as many other states, I think 36, said no way. I might be wrong on that number the more I think about it. It's fairly evenly split. And usually the Democratic states, where you have a Democratic governor or their legislature is controlled by the Democratic Party, they elected to expand the eligibility requirements to Medicaid. In other words, they increase the percentage of the poverty line. I need to track this down. I believe it's 133%. I've seen two numbers, 133% or 138%. I just really have not had time to really nail that number, but that's a little bit more. Usually you had to be under the poverty line. This does expand it if the state agrees to do that. And many states, including Texas, have elected not to do it. Why? Because it's really a big future burden to the state of Texas. It means you have, in Texas, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that could potentially not only qualify for Medicaid, but also have claims under it. So that's the big news story. It's a disaster, and I'm happy about it. Well, I sort of have mixed emotions. I'm happy about it because I'll get to the chase. I think Obamacare is evil. I think it's a disaster. I think it's evil. This is really a stepping stone to socialized medicine where the government has the monopoly. And once they have that monopoly, they control you. They control you. They control your health care. Single payer is socialized medicine where the government determines whether or not you get treated. It's an invasion of privacy. It's an invasion of the doctor-patient relationship. And you're literally putting your life in the hands of the government. I don't trust the government. I don't trust our president, and I don't trust our government. You see, with private insurance, you determine what company you want to deal with. And you should check the company out. What's their reputation? What are their ratings? And if you work with an insurance broker, is this a good company or not? Because most insurance brokers, they know who are the good companies and who are the rotten apples, if you will. And they will try to shop for you to get the plan that best meets your needs. But once we have single payer, where the only game in town is the government, you're out of luck. You're out of luck. Unless you could make arrangements to... And see, here's the problem. The very rich can do this. The very rich can always, they pay cash. They'll find, if they need good health care, what do they? They pay cash. They can fly to another country to get it if it came to that. See, the very rich can more or less, they can self-insure. The problem is that's less than 2%. It's really more like 1% of the entire population. So for most people, including me, that's just simply not practical. And the way to think of it, let's take not the most extreme case, but let's say for whatever reason, I needed some major surgery, I had some complications, and the entire bill is $1 million. Can you write a check for $1 million? I can't. Some people can. Not many, but some people do have that resource. That's why most people have insurance. That's why most people work for companies that provide insurance or provide you with an income that you can go out and buy your own. I'm looking at the clock. I need to wrap the show up, but I wanted to make sure that you got the news and my comments and opinions on it. I think Obamacare ultimately is going to be repealed, not right away. There are some people that think by next November it's gone, if not sooner. I don't think so. Do not think so. And the reason why is this is the single number one so-called achievement of Barack Obama. His plan and him have become a laughingstock. The butt of jokes. This is so screwed up. And the fear is amongst the Democrats, especially those who are up for a re-election in November 4th, 2014, and that's all the members of the House and a third of the Senate, and about a dozen of those are Democrats. They are shaking in their boots that this Obamacare is going to get them kicked out of office, and it should, because they voted for this mess. It's garbage, folks. They like to say it's that you have a substandard plan. That's how they try to put you down, what you have. The problem with that attempt is, and I used to be in the business, and I'll tell you something. One thing I would tell, and I used to train salesmen, you don't criticize what your prospect has. You don't. Don't call it garbage or substandard or any description. You positively sell what you have. You can point out differences. Take a small example. I used to sell a plan that did the lifetime maximum was unlimited. There was no ceiling. And that's what Obamacare ultimately, not immediately, but at some point will have. Unlimited. There's no limit on the medical expense. I would point that out. Why? Many of the competitors' plan, including the one that either an individual or the employer had, typically had limits. Some of the poorer ones had $1 million limit. Some had $2 million, some $3 million, some $5 million. So you better believe I pointed out, well, I want you to understand that the coverage that I'm presenting to you, and I would show it to them in writing, the description of the plan, as well as the actual proposal with the premium dollars, that, and it was spelled out, it was printed out, lifetime maximum unlimited. I made sure that a prospective client understood that, what that meant, and they liked it. Now, I'll be the first one to say, for most people, it's rare that they'll ever get over $1 million, or for that matter, $5 million. But it does happen. It does happen, and it is a why the probability is very small. If you're insuring many, many people, it's going to happen. But they can do it because they have a large pool of people that they're insuring. Insurance is about pooling risk. So I would point that out. The mistake this administration has done is put down the plans of millions, over 15 million people. And with the back of their hand, that's a substandard plan. Every one of those plans were approved for sale in the state you're residing. You need to understand that. They're not substandard plans. The difference between now and in the future is this. Right now, at least through the end of the year, you could have bought a rather wide range in terms of benefits health insurance plan. And you could tailor a plan that fit your situation. And I'll say it again. I don't need maternity coverage. I don't need mental health coverage. I don't need contraceptives and abortion coverage. I don't need pediatric care. Guess what? You could, until Obamacare, you could go out and find a plan where you got what you paid for. Those specific items were not covered. Conversely, if that any of those services were important to you, let's say you were a young couple starting out and you're going to have children, for your situation, maternity care, child care is important. You can get that type of plan, and it's going to cost you more. The problem with Obamacare, it's one size fits all. In other words, they've designed a package of benefits that all plans have to have. And when you take that design approach, what does that mean? The premiums are going to be much higher, much higher. Everyone's premiums across the board are going to go up. And don't fall for the nonsense, well, you may qualify for credits. In other words, when they say that, your neighbor is going to pay for your insurance. I don't particularly want that. They're making you dependent on the government, but you got to keep in mind, once you get a better job and making more money, then you won't qualifying for benefits or someone else paying for your insurance. You're going to be paying for someone else's insurance. And that's what they're pushing. That's what they're trying to persuade the young people. We're going to get you some more credits. We've heard you can't pay the premium, so we'll give you more credits. Good luck. Guess what? Congress has to, all money bills originate in the House of Representatives. What do you think the chances are that the Republican-controlled House is going to increase the subsidies? I would say it's about zero. I resent what they're doing. And I've told friends of mine, if health insurance is a very high priority with you, for what I don't care the reason, but you really must have it. I would say, okay, then either go to work for a company that provides you with it, or find a job where you earn enough money where you can go out and buy your own. and buy what you want and what you need and what you can afford. Don't come to me and say, well, I need subsidies. I think that's immoral because most of, if not all of the people we're talking about are not needy. They can work. And like I said, I understand, especially if you're young, health insurance is not a major concern of yours. It certainly wasn't a major concern of me when I was young. Because again, if you lead a normal lifestyle, you have enough sleep every night, exercise, eat the proper, have a proper diet, you don't indulge in alcohol, in drugs, or other risky behavior, you'll probably, for the next 40 years, if you add up all your medical bills, that'll probably be less than $5,000. And most of them, at least in my case, but for a lot of people, their bigger out-of-pockets are for dental and eye care. Not medical, but for dental care and eye care. See, I know that, because I used to sell this type of insurance, that one of the things that most employers were interested in, why? Because their employees were interested in it, is a good dental plan. And also for vision care to be included. That's truly what most people want and need. But that costs money. Like I said, if you're willing to pay for it, you can get virtually any type of health care coverage, from the worst coverage to the absolute best. And the people that are very wealthy, they don't even need to mess with insurance. They can self-insure. And for the people that are, in essence, destitute or poor, they live below the poverty line, you can't afford health insurance. That's why we have Medicaid. So in a month from now, I think we'll still be on the air. I'm not sure when they're going to be closing down the studio. We're getting towards the end of the semester. But I'll probably have an update in a month. And then hopefully we will know for that first, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks, how many people actually have health insurance. And my suspicion is, if 106,000 is the total number, both state and the federal, the healthcare.gov, I think 10,000 might be optimistic. 10,000. Maybe a little higher, but about 10,000 would be my... That's atrocious. And hopefully it'll improve. See, this website and its back end really hasn't been tested. Most people need to shop and become just aware of the types of plans, the range of prices. You need to do a lot of research or shopping, however you want to call it. This is a big ticket item for most people. This is over $1,000, $2,000, $3,000. Maybe even $4,000 or $5,000 in terms of premiums for the whole year. So people are should be very careful and very deliberate about this. And I think what's going to happen is many people are going to say, I'm going to pass because the premiums are just too high. And when I look at these very high deductibles, they're going to say, okay, I pay all these premiums. It's really going to be a stretch. And then I'm going to, if anything happens to me, I'm going to have to pay $5,000 deductible, $6,000 deductible. And the answer is, yes, you're going to have to pay the deductible for the health care provider or doctor to provide the service. And they're going to demand it up front. Now, you might be able to make arrangements with the doctor or hospital, or some kind of payment plan. I'm not ruling that out, but most of them want their money up front. You are on the hook for the deductible and the copayment. And the copayment is typically either 20 or 30%. You got to look at the entire picture. What will you be out of pocket? Obviously, the premium dollars, the deductibles, and the copays. You need to add those together. So take with a big grain of salt, probably a bag of salt, the numbers you're hearing. Because probably very few, if any, people have insurance. So they say enroll. And the reason I'm sensitive to this, I used to go out, for example, and I was selling small group and enroll people, take down their information. It didn't take that long, but it depended on the number of employees. And the reason I did that, because some are single, some are married, some have children. I need to get their ages, make sure their name is spelled right. And then I would take all that enrollment information. And this is after, I need to say this, this is after I've already sold the owner on the coverage and he's paid me a check, but then I would have to take the enrollment information and send a whole package up to the insurance company, and they made a determination. And usually it was positive that they would take the case. In other words, they would take this employer as a customer. But they had paid the money and they have the information. And that typically took 2 to 4 weeks before I got a decision. So if you enrolled on the first, one of the lucky few that actually got on, and all the information was perfect and the insurance company got a very clean information on you, no corrupt info, it all made sense, you probably will be getting your insurance card after you've paid, you necessarily haven't paid, right around now, if you're lucky. I think that number is very, very small, though. It's definitely under 10,000. I would not be surprised it's under 5. You are listening to KDOQS Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDOQS, Richland College, or the DCCD. Thank you very much for listening. I hope it's been an educational, informative, and maybe just a little bit entertaining show. And the reason I'm continuing on Obamacare, if Obamacare is in the news, I'm going to cover it. I'm not going to fight Obamacare. Now, if something else is in the news, I'm going to cover it. And I actually had something else to cover. But when you have breaking news like this, I go with the breaking news. Because that's what people are hearing about. That's what they are discussing. And they want to hear my opinions. I give you my informed opinion. Thank you, and stay tuned for, I'm going to get back to the music in a minute, but my next show will be tomorrow at from 4 to 5. And then on Friday, I'll have my regular 2-hour show from 3 to 5. Thank you for listening. And now back to the music.